Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Thanks for joining us for part two of the discussion entitled Sacred Marriage Part Four. So if as Christians, we're speaking to the Christian world here, the Christian worldview, the point is that struggles are coming to your marriage and you have them. And if I get honest about what the struggle is, not from of my wife, but of me,
right?
Not of your husband, but of you.
Yes.
If I get honest about that, then what happens is I begin the process of sanctification, of repenting, humility, being honest.
Yes.
And repenting. Mm-hmm. Then God uses that combination of humility and repentance to change me into the image of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And whether you would ever do right or not, I can.
Right.
And whether I ever do right or not, you can.
Right.
And sometimes in a marriage, we just throw up our hands and say, I'm done, I want out. Hmm. But what we do is how many times have we seen this? A couple wants out. Okay, so they walk out, but they still haven't dealt with the issues that caused the problem in the first place.
True.
So they get remarried. Hmm. And shocking as all get out, they discover that their marriage still has the same problems. Mm-hmm. Because it's not the spouse that's the issue here at this
right.
point. It's me.
Absolutely.
It's them. And so what he's talking about here is that if I confront my sins and mature to victory, that a marriage becomes a crown of success and not a casualty statistic.
I would say that, just to add to that, we're speaking to Christian couples, many of whom would not even consider divorce.
Sure.
They would not. But their focus of someone needs to change is not on themselves. Their focus of someone needs to change in this relationship, and that would be you. You
yeah.
need to change. And so there are wives who maybe even spiritualize it, and they pray and pray and pray that their husband will change. And maybe they resort to manipulation to get their husband to change, or they resort to whining to get their husband to change, or nagging. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. Instead of us as wives humbling ourselves and saying, you know what, I need to change. I'm the one who has sin in my life, and I need to make that right.
Yeah, and sometimes a husband goes the other way and uses anger to try to get his wife to do what he thinks she ought to do.
Yes.
Or he goes the other way and he will, perhaps he'll even flirt with an affair.
Mm.
As a way to get what he wants
right.
and to make his wife realize, I don't need you.
Mm.
And it's all very self-focused.
Very.
And some of us wouldn't always go to that extreme, but all
True.
Of us are selfish.
Yes.
And all of us are going to battle, and all of us are going to struggle.
Right.
And the point he makes very strongly is that actually beauty, when we allow the struggles, he quotes, I don't know who these authors are, but he quotes Dan Allender and Tremper Longman III.
Yes.
And here's what they said. Because marriage, more than any other relationship, reflects God's involvement with us and bears more potential to draw our hearts to heaven. This is kind of loaded. But they said, it can more readily give us a taste of hell.
Mm.
Meaning that out of all the other relationships we have in life, the one that's going to cause the most struggle is going to be our marriages. And that's so weird to think about because marriage is so amazing.
True.
And it is honored in the whole world.
I wonder if, too, because Satan hates everything that God has created and
sure.
God has instituted marriage, I wonder if part of that sin struggle is just Satan's attack over and over and over again to get our marriages to either end or to just be a terrible testimony of
sure.
what Christ can
do. And a personal misery.
Yes.
Like, oh, my word.
Absolutely. And we just walk around defeated. We talked
sure.
about last or 2 weeks ago, I guess, about prayer and how that our prayers are hindered. Mm-hmm. Of course, Satan would want to hinder our prayers and to get our relationship in such a struggle that we cannot pray or our ministry or whatever it is. And so I would say that is true.
Yeah, and here's an interesting thing. He does talk a lot about the fact that of this idea of struggle.
Mm.
And he talks about the fact that struggles are normal to life. And he points out that our generation hates the idea of struggle.
Right. We want everything easy.
And if we go get a job and the job is harder than we thought it would be, we're done.
Yes.
Or if we start investments and the investments cost us a little trouble, we're finished.
Mm.
If we're driving and we don't like it, we'll turn around and go home.
Right.
The whole point is that we don't want any inconvenience. Yes. Our culture is designed to, and we buy this lie that you know, if I had this new technology, my life would be just perfect.
Right, easier.
And if I had this nicer car, my life would just be perfect.
Right, if I had a bigger house.
Yeah. And you can even start thinking that when your marriage, if my spouse wasn't like that, just our marriage would be great.
True.
And he points out, the point of this chapter is that marriage is an opportunity not to alleviate the struggle. He even says that God doesn't protect Christians from problems. He rather helps us walk victoriously through those problems.
Right.
God's plan is not to protect us from a struggle in our marriage.
True.
But to help us to overcome it so that we can find victory and be closer to one another in the marriage relationship.
Yes.
I think that's pretty amazing. I love that idea.
Well, even just in your everyday Christian life, who wants to be the person that is just like, about everything? Do we have days like that? Yes. Things break down. Things don't work. The line is long at the grocery store or the bank. Yes. All kinds of things happen. But if you, as a Christian, walk through your daily life with that just struggling and struggling and struggling, and I just can't believe life is like this, you're just a miserable person. But you bring that into a marriage, then you are doubly miserable.
Absolutely. And everybody in the marriage is miserable.
Yes. Absolutely.
And it affects all kinds of things. If you have children, and it affects in-laws and outlaws and the whole gamut.
I don't have outlaws.
That's exactly right.
I have none in-laws. Of us.
Yes. In-loves. but let's talk a bit more in the time we have left here about this idea of struggle, because it's true that humility and repentance can overcome any struggle and make us more like Jesus.
Yes.
But we do live in this world where we hate the struggle. And instead of, he says this, instead of hating your marriage, learn to love it as a way God can grow faithfulness and perseverance into your character. Mm. Or another way of saying that, and this one we talked about a moment ago, and let's share it with our audience.
Okay.
Instead of running from struggles, learn to quiet your soul. Mm. Learn to float in sorrow rather than thrashing about like a growing emotional victim.
And that's quite a mental picture.
That is quite a mental picture, because what we do in struggle is we get uptight, we get bothered, we get frustrated, we get bitter, we get angry, we lash out at each other.
Yes.
The struggles in your marriage, some of you are having less than the marriage God wants you to have because the struggles in your life personally that you have allowed to now damage your marriage has become your focus. The struggle is your focus. And and I do think we meet a lot of people, and maybe this is too far, but they're thrashing about like a growing emotional victim. Mm. I can't believe he's that way. And I can't believe this happened. And I can't believe that happened. And oh my word, this. And oh my word, that.
Right.
And how many people do we know that live their life that way?
Mm-hmm.
The uptightness, is that even a word?
Well, and the intensity. There
That's
is just
the word.
That intensity. Intensity of, oh, I hate the struggle. I don't want to be in this struggle. I don't like you anymore. This is just not worth it. That's where people live. And either they avoid the struggle and the struggle just gets bigger and bigger on its own, or they are constantly, just for lack of a better mental picture, headbutting up against it all of the time. And I love the idea that he puts forth here of quieting your soul. Yes, is the struggle, does the struggle cause grief and sorrow? It does. When
Absolutely.
David and I are not getting along, and we are talking about some extreme things here that we have not faced in our marriage,
sure.
But we do have struggles because he's a guy and I'm a girl.
And when Bethley is wrong, or when I am wrong, that leads to struggle.
Right. When we are not readily admitting our sin in humility and repentance,
sure.
Then there is that struggle. And I love the idea of, yes, it is a sad thing, but we're going to rest in it and we're going to face it together in humility and repentance and see if we can solve the struggle instead of allowing the intensity of the struggle to make us thrash about emotional victims.
Let's even point this out, because the fact of the matter is there's people listening to us and their spouse does not care one way or the other at this point.
True.
And the point he does make here is that no matter what my spouse does, no matter what your spouse does, if your spouse still does wrong and still refuses to grow and become what they ought to be, the point he's making is that don't run from that struggle.
Mm.
Grow through that struggle.
Right.
Because whether your spouse ever does right or not, you can. Mm. you can humble yourself.
Yes.
You can repent of the things in your life, and you can apply yourself to understanding love and patience. And by keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ, who suffered to victory.
Yes.
God will move into your life and help you, even if you're the only one. Mm-hmm. And that's an aspect of suffering we can't overlook, because we can, you know, if we're not careful, we get the idea that, well, you know, if you'll do this, your marriage will be perfect. It may not.
True.
But here's what we are saying in this book, what we've learned, is that if you do this, you will be sanctified.
True.
You will have God's favor. You will have God's peace. You will have God's joy. And actually, until you are willing to do it on your own if necessary, there is no way to make your marriage even better. There's not even a chance.
True.
And so your marriage may never, the struggle may never go away.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, you can grow through the struggle and you can float instead of being an emotional victim thrashing all the time.
Yes.
You can float in your situation.
You can resting be at in rest. God. Have a quiet spirit.
You're growing. That's exactly right. And
absolutely.
We've seen that happen, haven't we?
We have seen it. We've seen both of these.
Yes.
Just illustration, and I am not thinking of anyone in particular, but sometimes we meet couples over and over and over again. It's the same struggle, the same struggle. Well, if he would only, if she would only, and we counsel the same thing over and over and over again, but they're just... As the author put it here, thrashing about like a growing emotional victim. They just cannot find rest in the struggle because they don't have that humility and repentance. But we've seen it the other way, where a couple, maybe just one of the spouses, comes to grips with, you know what, we may never together be right with God, but I can be right with God. And I am going to, in humility and repentance, do all I can to be sanctified in this marriage. It is amazing the sweetness that comes from that.
Sure.
The quietness of spirit, the rest, and even the love that grows for the spouse who isn't doing right.
Absolutely.
It is amazing to me to see that over, and we have seen that many times in our ministry.
Well, our time's about gone here, and let's just review this real quick before we sign off today. Marriage is an opportunity for us to confront our sins. Mm-hmm. And the point he's making here is that humility and repentance and struggle go together to sanctify us. Mm. And the greatest struggles you're going to have in life, chances are, will come through marriage, as far as relationally.
Right.
And boy, you take two sinners and we start living together with our rights and our desires and our thinking and the way we believe it ought to be.
And our genders.
Struggles are inevitable.
Amazing.
But if we respond to them, and you that are listening, if you'll look at your life with humility, and that's an honesty. Mm. Where am I?
Yes.
What am I? Yes. And rarely do you... rarely when we counsel couples that are coming for help,
right.
Rarely do they start with, well, I'll work on this.
Oh, right.
They always come in
going,
this is what he did, and this is why he did it. This is what she did. This is what happened. It's
absolutely
her fault. No, it's his fault. No, you did this. No, you did that. Mm. That blame game is destroying.
It is.
So if you'll respond in humility.
Yes.
Honesty about yourself. And you'll take care of the things in your life and allow God to give you victory through those.
Right.
The struggles of your marriage really will become a beautiful pathway to sanctification. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today's discussion was the conclusion of Sacred Marriage Part 4. Join us next time as we will wind up our series, our discussion in the book Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas. And that episode will be entitled Sacred Marriage Part 5.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.